Welcome everyone to a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, and as usual, I'm joined by the great Seth Weintraub. How's it going, Seth?
It's a hot here.
Yeah?
Hot. We're almost at 100 in New York.
Yeah, it's the summer is here. Seriously here. And it's hot. It's hot here in California too, but it's dry, so I'm not complaining. All right. This week, we're going to start, as usual, as we've been doing for the last few weeks, with a quick update on the deliveries for Tesla in the second quarter, which ends in just a few days. Why is it important? It's not that important, really, on the grand scheme of things. Tesla is delivering a ton of cars either way, but of course, it's a public company. There's a very strong focus on the quarterly results, so they need to push it further every quarter, and that's what they're trying to do this quarter, especially with a shot at beating the last delivery record. And I would argue that it's important because Tesla needs to show strong financial, because they're the only companies that only rely, well, mainly rely on electric vehicle sales to deliver revenue. So if they can do that and they can do it profitably, it shows the rest of an industry that's doable, and it shows a path to going all electric, which basically all automakers are reticent to doing. And we're going to talk about that a little later in the podcast. But coming back to Tesla, we've been talking about for a few weeks that they were aiming to deliver 33 to 36,000 vehicles in North America in June alone. And what we learned this week, earlier this week, they were at 22,000 as of the last week, the early last week of the quarter of June. And total for the quarter at the time was over 49,000. Again, that's just North America, because the what they're trying to beat is 90,000, but that's globally. But at the end of the quarter, we focus more on North America because it's where they can deliver cars quicker, because the factory is in California. So even though there's still going to be a few thousand in inventory that they cannot deliver because of logistic issues of moving the car around, the North American market and California especially are more important at the end of the quarter. Also, especially this quarter because of the federal tax rate, of course, that it's being halved again. And people are trying. So it's an incentive for people to try to get their delivery by the end of the quarter. So it's not just Tesla pushing for more delivery in the quarter to get better financial results. It's also customers that want to get their deliveries in order to get that $1,800 more on their tax return. However, last time that the federal tax rate was cut in half, Tesla ended up reducing their price right after. Do you think that's a possibility this time, that they're going to do that again?
I don't think they're going to reduce prices. I don't think they have a lot of margin to play with at this point. But they do have the white, I guess it's just the base model, base coat. There's no pearl. There's no...
Oh, you mean the switch of standard color?
Yeah, the standard color is now white.
Well, it's going to be
not the same white.
Next week.
Yeah, as of... I think if you order something right... Can you order the white... Not multi-coat, not pearl.
I think you can still order it right now black as a standard for the same price, because what they do is that they try to match you to an inventory car. So it's not necessarily going to be a new car that's going to be made. But you're right, probably that they're going to start switching production now for the white. But I think it's still the standard color is still black right now.
So if you were going to get a white car this week, you're paying $1,000 more than you're going to be paying, you know, without the federal tax credit as a part of the equation.
So it's potentially almost $3,000 difference from this week's to next week if you want a black Model 3.
Is it?
Well, $1,800 for the federal tax credit difference, and then $1,000 for the paint color. So it's almost $2,800, really.
Right. The black one is going to be almost $3,000 more expensive after everything. But the white one will be $1,000. Well, so the white one that they're making doesn't exist now, but it apparently the paint isn't that bad. It's just white paint. So, you know, like it's, if you were going to get a white car this week, you're paying $1,000 more than a white car next week.
Sort of, because you still get the multi coat if you order it this week. I went.
Can you tell the difference in the multi coat?
And multi coat, I could with the white one. The black one, though, the black was they didn't call it multi coat, but it was a multi coat paint job. Wasn't
it more metallic or something?
Whatever. Well, no, the one I have. What was it called? On my Model 3. I'm blanking right now. I don't remember the color of my Model 3. Obsidian black.
Obsidian.
And this one I couldn't make the difference unless it was in the bright sunlight. But yeah, I went to the Tesla Burbank store this week to take delivery of a car for Scott Buscemi, who sometimes works for us as a videographer. He ordered a Model 3 just last week, and he got a delivery this week. And he ordered it black. And when we were there was a ton of other cars. And mostly Model 3s and mostly black ones. So definitely the fact that it's the standard color, I think, and it's cheaper. I think a lot of people are going for it. It's going to be good probably for the diversity of Tesla cars. Because, I mean, especially here in LA, there's Model 3s everywhere. And they're almost always black.
They're all black, right?
They're all black. Yeah. So at least switching the standard color to white, you're going to see more white Model 3s around, I assume. And they'll change the scenery a bit because literally I can go on Sunset here. I live just up the street from Sunset, and I can walk like 10 minutes and see like five Model 3s, and over half of them are going to be black.
Yeah, they're getting quite popular in New York as well. I'm in Westchester, the county north of New York City, and it's, we used to see a Tesla every 30 cars or 40 cars, and now it's like, kind of feels like it's like every five. That's not true. Maybe like every 10 cars.
That's probably still not true, but it's like a mind trick.
I'm actually full of it. It's probably way, way, way less than that, but it just feels like they're everywhere.
Yeah, it does, right? But yeah, they're going to be everywhere because the demand is so strong. It's still even if they don't achieve the result, the record this quarter, Tesla's still going to have like something like close to 60,000 cars in North America over a period of 3 months. That's pretty damn good because I remember just a few years ago with 60,000 cars globally was in the full year was out of reach. So it's a great job here. And then if you look at Norway, sales have been pretty strong in June. They also had like almost 2,000 cars, I think, the two prior months of the quarter. So probably going to bring around 5,000 units from Norway. China is always a big wild card, but could also be strong if you had all the other markets together. UK, the sale started for the first time this month for the Model 3 in the UK. So if you had all that, if the deliveries, the execution was good there, Tesla still has a chance to get their record this quarter. But it's going to be a crazy weekend to do it because especially since the last day of the quarter ends up being Sunday. And in some states, you cannot deliver cars on Sunday. Like, I don't know if it's because of the DMV or whatever restriction they have, but you cannot.
It's probably some old law from the church going days. Like you can't buy booze in New York on Sunday, strangely.
No, that's not true.
Yeah. That's true. Wait, maybe it's Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't know.
New York.
It's one of the places I've lived. Anyway.
Hong Kong, maybe.
What? Yeah, that's right. Getting back to your point, why is there such a big difference between, so if Tesla sells 89,900 cars this quarter versus if they sell 91,000 cars this quarter?
It's a headline. It's all in the headlines.
It's a headline, but really it's a matter of 1,000 cars.
Yeah, like, doesn't matter at all other than for the headlines and for
that's basically what the big suspense is about, because we know it's going to be either a few below or a few above.
It's not going to be a breakout where it's going to be like 5,000 over the record, which would have a big financial impact. That looks extremely unlikely at this point, but though I would argue that any car that's not going to be in inventory at the end of the quarter has a significant impact for Tesla, because Tesla paid for to make that car at a significant price. Right. And so even if so, 1,000 cars still has a good difference on the financial, I think. Especially when you're talking about an inventory of maybe like 2,000 to 5,000 cars. So if
I just kind of feel like everybody's stressing out too much about getting that record and getting, like, you know, I'm worried that like some people are getting a bad experience because they're pushing too many cars through too small a channel.
No doubt.
And I feel like build it out and slowly, naturally get the, you know, you're not going to get the record, you know, bummer. Mm-hmm. Like you got 85,000 this time. But a lot of people had a much better experience. A lot of people are going to tell their friends, hey, this is an awesome car and I had an awesome delivery experience. I feel like build for the long run. Like, who cares about the shorts and saying, oh, they can't, you know, meet demand or anything like that. Like,
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But at the same time, this quarter is a little bit different because, again, it's not just Tesla pushing for having more deliveries. It's also the consumers that they want those deliveries by the end of the quarter. So,
right.
So Tesla is doing everything they can. I mean, but for sure, it is affecting. Sorry, I'm getting sick here. My nose is running. I think that definitely people are getting a bad experience. When I was there with Scott, I mean, Scott's experience was pretty good. I'd say like it took 5 minutes of paperwork. They show us the car. Though at first, it was so many people taking deliveries there that at the same time that they got confused with the cars. And again, a lot of the cars, they look the same. Scott right. was getting a standard plus Model 3 black with a standard 18-inch aero wheels. There was a bunch of other cars there like that. So as we go outside to find the car, that all the cars were being lined up on the side of the building, you just pull your Tesla app and make it honk. Make the car honk so that we know which one is it. So Scott does it, and we see a black Model 3 honk right there. So we go to the car, and we start inspecting the car. And we weren't happy about it because there was big mark of fingers on the side of the on the liner inside the car. And so we started looking around and everything, but and we complained to David Hamai, I think Hamai is his name. He's one of the most senior designer at Tesla on their friends. He's like,
what was he doing at the shop?
All hands on deck. Everyone is contributing to get the delivery. So
they've got like designers out there.
Yeah, I think there was a few people from the design studio there because there was a bunch of people that didn't look like retail. Like they weren't like they didn't have a retail. Oh, shirt
you should be hanging out there looking for scoops and asking about the truck.
Yeah, well, I think David worked on the truck too. He had a Tesla Semi truck T-shirt.
No, I mean the pickup.
Oh, okay, the pickup truck. Yeah. So yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. We tell him about that, and he's very apologetic. He's like, oh, we're going to get that fixed. But then he starts showing Scott how to use the key card on the Model 3. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, doesn't have a key fob that comes with a car. Well, you can buy one now for the Model 3, but it comes with just a key card that she put on the B pillar to unlock. And he start to try to unlock and lock the car with the car, and it doesn't work. And we start like thinking, wow, why isn't it working? It wasn't the right car. Even when
so somebody else was hitting
at the same time, it was the other car. So we had to switch car. So that person weren't going to be happy because it was very dirty on the inside for the headliner. Then Scott got his own car and we looked around. It looked pretty good. Only thing we found, there was a little ding on the fender on the passenger side. Maybe a dime size ding on it, which of course they couldn't fix right there. And they want you to take delivery as soon as possible. So they tell you is just take the car home, accept delivery and everything. We know we take picture of it and everything, and we send it to service, take a service appointment, and they're going to fix it for you. And the service appointment, of course, we're free because it's a brand new car. So not ideal. As we were there, as we were looking around the car, another customer comes by. And he's like, yeah, you get good on you guys. Look closely like that. Like, you know, I was looking at the wheels or something. So he's like, keep looking closely because I picked up my car a few weeks ago and I'm still trying to fix a bunch of things on it. Like he wasn't happy at all about his car. He said that, they had curb marks on the wheels and paint defects and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely even though Tesla will try to rush you out of there because they are pretty busy, take the time to look around the car, and most likely there won't be anything. If there's something, it won't most likely won't be a big deal. But you still need to take note right there, and tell the delivery guy, because that's how Tesla's gonna fix it for free. I just got an email from a guy who took delivery two weeks ago, of a Model 3 with the white seats, and on the back seat he found a tear at the base of the seat in the white fake leather, vegan leather that they have. They didn't notice it right away at delivery. They noticed it like a few days later. And they told Tesla service about it. And they said, just take a service appointment. We're going to fix it when you take a service appointment. But the service appointment wasn't until the two more weeks. So they just went to the service appointment. And as they were there, they're like, yeah, you're going to have to pay for it because it's past the 7-day inspection period.
Come on.
It's like, well, yeah, I know it's past the 7-day, but... We noticed it within the 7 days, but we didn't have a service appointment until now. Apparently, they didn't let him. They insisted that he pay for it, which is a...
How much did that cost?
He didn't do it. He reached out to me to give him advice on how to try to bypass the service people. I mean, there's not much I can do about it. Like, I told him to reach out to support. Support can go past the... The service center, because he talked to the service manager.
If you're loud enough for long enough, you'll get it.
Yeah, yeah. But you shouldn't have to be.
No, you shouldn't have to be. But it's kind of how it works. One of our other writers, Trevor, got rear-ended. And, he's a pretty get-the-job-done kind of guy. And he eventually got tested. First of all, they're saying it's going to be months and months and you got to drive it to Cleveland and all this other stuff. And he spent some time on the phone, went around a little bit, got a couple managers involved, and Tesla now just let him drive it to the nearest place. And they're taking care of the stuff and giving him a loaner, which I wasn't even sure that they still did. So it just takes some work, mm-hmm. which sucks. Shouldn't have to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's going to be harder, for the first few weeks of Q2, because again, that weekend is going to be pretty intense. And, the more intense it is, the most likely you are to have a few issues like that, that are going to pile up for a few weeks after a quarter. So, be mindful of that in the next few weeks if you need Tesla service. All right. Moving on. We reported earlier this week that, Tesla lost a big name, a big executive, and now my page is not loading. I cannot pronounce his name without reading it from the page.
It's Peter.
Yeah. I could do Peter, Seth. I was looking for his last name.
Hotchholdlinger.
All right.
Hotchholdlinger.
All right, I'll let you.
Peter Hotchholdlinger.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, yep. Peter. Well, my page is still not loading, but I know it by heart, I think. Peter was a veteran of Audi for 20 years, and he was responsible for the production program of several of their most popular vehicle, including the i5, i4, A4, A5, and the Q5, even maybe the Q7. Maybe not the Q7. A4, A5, and Q5, yeah. That's 400,000 vehicles per year. That's when he was hired in 2016 at Tesla. And when he was hired, it was a big deal. Tesla made a whole press release about it. It's like, hey, we secured top talent in managing manufacturing. And he was put in charge of the Fremont factory. He was put in charge of the car seat plant also in Fremont, the casting site in Olathe, even the Tilburg factory for the final assembly of the Model S and X in Europe. So... he was the new top production guy at Tesla, along with Gilbert Pasin, who at the time was still at Tesla. Now he left last year, but they were the two manufacturing executive there. We learned from a source, we got tip earlier, the week before that Peter left. And earlier this week, we managed to confirm it with a second source, so we did post it. Tesla refused to comment about it. They didn't say anything. So we don't know what's the plan to replace him, if there's one. Last year, though, late last year, we did report that Tesla hired a guy named Brett Brugman. Brugman, I think is his name. And his title was Vice President of Production at Freeman Plant. So at the time, we reached out to Tesla. He's like, hey, that's a... Seems like a high position, Tesla manufacturing. Almost looks like it's replacing Peter Oshholdinger. And Tesla said, no, Peter is still at Tesla. At the time, they said he's still at Tesla, and he's not Brugman is not replacing him. So I don't know how he plays into the picture right now, but we know that Oshholdinger is out of the picture at Tesla. He quit.
I think from a PR standpoint, Tesla doesn't want us to get attached to too many names, just generally speaking.
Yeah.
Like, people are coming and going at a kind of a rapid pace, which is, you know, doesn't sound great, but maybe that's just how things go in Silicon Valley or in the auto industry. But it just seems...
I mean, this guy was a 20-year veteran of Audi. So it's not like he's jumping around from one company to another. He went 20 years at Audi, but only did 3 at Tesla.
Yeah, no, that's true. But it just seems like from a public relations standpoint, they are a lot less likely to talk about executives coming and going than they have been in the past. And I think that is due to a lot of publicity around high profile comings and goings, for better or worse.
Sorry, I lost you for a minute. Like,
all right, we're back. Yeah,
can you hear me?
I see the live sign. Yeah, I can hear you.
No.
I can hear you.
I lost you for about a minute or so. I'm not sure what you said about about that.
All right. Hopefully, we weren't talking over each other. Okay.
I let you talk. I could still hear you a little bit.
Okay.
Sting that you said, but not the whole thing. But yeah, I understand that you were talking about, like, they don't want to stay too attached with them. That's why they're not commenting on it on PR. They don't want to make a big deal out of it. I mean, I got a bunch of flack from Tesla fans, especially on the Tesla subreddit. But on the subreddit, they are completely irrational about anything that can be portrayed as negative for Tesla. I literally get people telling me there, you shouldn't post anything that can be portrayed as negative on Tesla because it's going to make a bigger deal about other publications. Stuff like that. Doesn't work like that. I don't write on Electrek for readers of other publications. I write for the readers of Electrek. I want them to have the information. I want them to have all the details to form their own opinion on it. And if they don't have an opinion on it, they can read mine also, which is clearly separated from the facts in the article. So, but I got a ton of flack on this one saying, oh, Peter Oshholdinger wasn't a big deal at Tesla. It's not important that he left. I mean, Tesla, when he came in, they sent out the press release to all the press. They wanted the press to report about it. They wanted everyone to know, we got this guy. He's working at Tesla now. So I think it's only fair that we report when he leaves. And I think it would have been good for Tesla to do comment on it, say what happened there, if they can. They didn't. All right. We reported also on a new release. Enhanced Summon, we've been talking about it for weeks. It's about a month late at this point. It's been in the Early Access Program, which the program has been expanding. So the release of the Enhanced Summon has been expanded too, but it's still not available to the wider fleet. I don't have it. I don't know about you, but I don't have it. But in Canada,
I don't either.
In Canada, we get all the summon feature later because there's some issues with the car moving. There's some issues with the regulators when it comes to the car moving without anyone inside, which is what the summon does. And hence summon does it with an even longer distance instead of being like 20 feet or so, 30 feet, I think, sort of current one. Though in Canada, it's like 5 feet or something. It's ridiculous. The hand summon goes over to 150 feet. So what Tesla released this week to the early access owners when it comes to hand summon is a new standby mode within the hand summon. What it does is that when you're not in the car, the summon stays active with all the sensors, the computers, and everything in order to reduce the delay time between activating the summons and the car getting to you. So from what I hear from people in the early access program, one of the biggest deal, the biggest problem with summon, enhanced summon, I should say, is that it is slow, like really slow. However, I thought that what he meant and what I've seen with a bunch of demos and everything like that, it's that it's slow when it starts moving towards you. It's move very slowly. It's very careful not to hit anything in the parking lot, not to hit anyone in the parking lot, which obviously is a good thing, but it is very slow. So this doesn't address that. This address the slow time, the delay between starting the feature and the feature that the car actually making the decisions and starting to move on its own. I guess that was also a delay there, but I didn't think that was a bigger part of the slow movement of enhanced autopilot, enhanced summon. But it's there, it's now, although it's going to, of course, increase energy consumption if you do it. So keep that in mind. It's not going to work if you have less than 20% battery capacity in your car. All right. Tesla Roadster. Not as fast as we thought it would be.
No, what happened?
Yeah. So there's been a debate about that, if Elon made a mistake or he didn't. I don't think he made a mistake, because we asked him to clarify if he did, and a bunch of other people asked him to, and it's been over a day now, and he has kept tweeting since, and he didn't delete the comment or anything like that. So I think that's true. Like, again, I got you a bunch of flack on Reddit for posting that too, but people assume that he made a mistake. Again, as I said, I assume that he meant what he said, which I think is the safer assumption here. What he said is that the 1.9 second, the base model 3, the base new Roadster gonna get 0 to 60 miles per hour in 2.1 second. To get the faster time, which was previously advertised at 1.9 seconds, you're going to need the rocket thruster. You call it the rocket thruster, but it's, of course, the cold air thruster and the SpaceX package that we talked about before. That sounds just insane.
Which is crazy for a couple of reasons. One, we're talking about rocket thrusters on cars like it's like a normal thing. Two, like 2.1 seconds, 0 to 60 is like almost like damage. Like you're going to hurt your neck and you're going to hurt people that are just going to get whiplash. So, and you know, 1.9 seconds to 2.1 seconds is not a big deal. But if you're going to throw out those figures, you got to back them up. And him kind of just walking it back with a tweet doesn't really work out because
originally at the unveiling, he said 1.9 was for the base version and they expect to have higher end version that do better than that. He even said that, that's what we are achieving right now, which I took to say that's what they are achieving right now in the prototype that they have. And they did 0 to 60 miles per hour acceleration with the prototype. And you were in one when they did that. And do you remember?
Yeah, I didn't have my stopwatch, but.
But do you remember them saying anything about the time or just they just launched you and.
You know, I'd have to go back to the video because it was all recorded, yeah. But. I don't remember them saying anything specifically about 2.1 seconds.
1.9. At that time, it was
1.9.
People were talking about 1.9. So where there was some confusion is the fact that Tesla has been also using the 2.9 figure, but for the 0 to 100 kilometer an hour, which is not the same as 0 to 60 miles per hour. It's closer to 0 to 62 miles per hour. So people thought that he may have misspoken. But we reached out. We said, do you mean 100 kilometer an hour or 62 miles per hour? And he didn't respond and he didn't change his tweet. And he was asked by a bunch of people and he hasn't corrected it. So I assume that. And he also says like that's without the base thruster. So I assume that he means it's going to be faster with the thruster. So I think it's correct. And it makes some sense too, because I also wasn't sure like the 2.2 miles per hour difference. And it takes 0.2 of a second.
That sounds right.
At that speed, like I get it. If you're going maybe like 2.5 to 2.7 for the 2 miles per hour difference, but when you're already at 1.9 seconds for 60 miles per hour, the other 2 miles per hour doesn't make sense. It takes 0.2 of a second.
Yeah, I mean it's almost a rounding error at that
point. Yeah. Yeah, so who cares at the end of the day? The car is going to be insanely fast. Either way, it's just...
I guess bragging rights.
Yeah, bragging. And I thought it was like a psychological barrier. I think if you get under 2 seconds, there's something like it's a little like the quarter mile. If you can get a car in the 10 seconds for the quarter mile, it has there's an appeal to it. I thought it was the same for 0 to 60 under 2 seconds, but at the end of the day, who cares?
Right.
Also, this car, I don't think is nowhere near ready to production. They've been talking about 2020, but with what Elon has been saying the last few months, saying it's not a priority, then the car doesn't appear on the product roadmap at all. I'm starting to think 2020 is going to be hard, probably more 2021.
Yeah, easily.
But again, I like to remind Tesla that when you take money from customers, reservation like that, you should try to stick to your timeline. They said it's not a priority or whatnot. I agree on the grand scheme. I think the Model Y, the pickup truck, should definitely be higher than priority, but you should have thought about that before
And it's not just any amount of money. It's $250,000.
Some people did put down $250,000. That's correct. Another bit, and so, even if you didn't, it was $50,000.
Right, which is still a lot of money, probably not for the people buying these things. But like,
I think it's a lot of money for basically anyone.
Yeah. Okay. But it's still, you know.
Yeah. They are millionaires, of course. So it's not like you shouldn't cry for them. But still, if you took some money, you should try to respect the timeline. Moving on to battery fire. Tesla today sent out a statement via their Weibo. Official Weibo account in China to comment about the battery fire from a Model S that caught on fire on its own in the garage in Shanghai in April earlier this year. So that's kind of rare from Tesla to just offer the information out there like that. Normally we have to press them to get update on the investigations and things like that, especially when it comes to fires. Tesla doesn't like to talk about fires. Their cars, they don't catch on fires, or at least not at the rate of gasoline car. So they don't talk about it. They did offer the information directly to their social media. Why? Because there's been a lot of pressure, especially in China, about electric vehicle battery fires following this event that was extremely publicized in China due to the fact that it was caught on camera. You can see the car in the garage catching on fire. And of course, the whole Tesla community went... conspiracy theorists on it, like, oh, it's the short, they're setting the car on fire or something like that. The cars can catch on fire, people. It's not just always a conspiracy. And at the same time that this happened, there was a bunch of NIO ES8 SUVs that also caught on fire. And last week, the Chinese government sent out a request to the automakers saying that they need to investigate and report details about what they are doing to prevent battery fires in their electric vehicles. And they especially mentioned the incident with NIO and the incident with Tesla. So what happened last week, NIO ended up recalling actually their SUVs, or at least a big batch of them, about 5,000 of them. And Tesla didn't do any recall, but they did... I assume due to that government pressure released that statement regarding the Shanghai battery fire. What they said is that they did release vague result of a preliminary investigation that found that it originated from a single battery module. That's what they said. Single battery module. And they said that a joint investigation with Chinese and American expert didn't find that the system had any defect, but they found the cause to be a battery module at the front of the car. I mean, so I think what they mean is that there's no like defect, consistent defect across, like it's not a design defect. It's just something bad that happened to one single battery module. They didn't say what happened to that battery module. I mean, the battery module is not supposed to catch on fire on its own, either way. So this is something that happened, but they don't go into details like that. They just said that it's one single battery module that was a problem. Then they reiterated their point that gasoline vehicles catch on fires 10 times more likely to catch on fires than a Tesla vehicle, which, I mean, I guess statistically it's probably correct, but that's based on the overall gasoline car fires, which includes, I think most of gasoline cars that catch on fires are without accident are like older vehicles, like much older vehicles. I mean, the average gasoline car on the road is much older than the Tesla vehicle on the road. I mean, Tesla delivered last year more cars that they delivered in their entire history before that. So that means that the average Tesla vehicle is less than 2 years old at this point. So, and there's been a bunch of fires lately, this year, in the first few months of the year, regarding Tesla vehicles that weren't involved in the impact. They just caught on fire on their own. I mean, we've seen 6 examples of that this year. Is it statistically worrying? There are hundreds of thousands of Tesla out there now, so I don't know. But I feel like it's a lot for the number of cars. I don't care when a Tesla catches on fires after eating slamming into a brick wall. That's not gonna happen with any car. But when the car is just sitting on its own and it just catches on fire, it's a little bit more worrying. It should be investigated. It was in this case. I'm not sure I'm completely satisfied with the result of that. They call it a preliminary investigation, so I assume that's going to be further investigated. But yeah, what do you think, Seth?
Yeah, I always wonder if something happened. I mean, in this case, it doesn't seem like that's the case, but I always wonder if like something happened on the road earlier and started a slow reaction that takes maybe, you know, a couple minutes to an hour. So like maybe this guy got, it's not the case, but in some case, a person could have hit something on the road, got back to their garage, a slow reaction was starting to happen as, you know, the car crumpled underneath, and then some of the batteries could have gotten, started reacting, and then had a fire in a garage instead of what seems to have been just a bad battery or bad module, pack yeah. module. So it's weird because like, how could did the module short, or did one of the batteries in the module short, or
I still really don't quite know. Not a lot of information right now. It's not, right. I think they felt forced to release that statement due to the situation right now. Like NIO was seen as more proactive with their recall maybe. And they were like, we need to put something out there, and they definitely don't want to recall the car. So, anyway, we'll see if they release more. I mean, you're right that sometimes it's something weird that happened with a car. Like if you, cause I mean, visibly the car wasn't a hit, wasn't an accident, but maybe something underneath, like they ran over something. I mean, the best example, of course, is we reported that last year. You can check it, like try to find it on Electrek. Just say, search like Electrek Tesla bullet battery fire or something like that, where we uncovered a old court case. Well, an old court case, not that old, but like a 2015, if I remember, something like that. Maybe 2016, where a Tesla owner sued Tesla because his car caught on fire, a battery fire. Tesla didn't want to pay anything. A brand new car, too. Brand new. So that's why you assume that the guy files a lawsuit against a company when your brand new car catches on fire. Tesla refused to pay because they investigated the car and they found a bullet in the battery pack. So they said that someone inside the car fired a bullet in the car toward the bottom, hitting the battery pack, which led to the car fire. So you never know. Yeah, sometimes there's definitely weird things that happen that are definitely not Tesla's fault. I mean, I don't think you can fault Tesla for not having a bulletproof battery pack, at least not from the inside of the car. Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it somewhere like Georgia or Florida or something?
Where firearms are. I think it was the Northeast, I think.
Oh, man.
I want to say Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or something like that. I might be wrong. I don't remember. We posted that last year. But yeah, it was an interesting case. I was flabbergasted by that. Like, how does that happen? Especially a brand new car. But then I got schooled by our my colleagues in America were